Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. When we think of the early pioneers in the field of American flight, we'll hear about Amelia Earhart's solo trek across the Atlantic Ocean or Charles Lindbergh's nonstop journey in the Spirit of St. Louis. But the textbooks have often overlooked a pivotal figure who made an early mark on aviation history, Bessie Coleman, who in 1921 became the first African-American woman to be a licensed pilot. Coleman was born on January 26th of 1892 and grew up in Texas, the daughter of a Native American and Black father and an African American mother, who both worked as sharecroppers. As the 12th of 13 children, Coleman worked in the cotton fields after her father left the family to return to his native reservation. She attended primary school in a one-room wooden shack. For the article this episode is based on, HowStuffWorks spoke with Dr. Philip S. Hart. He's written 2 books on Coleman and also served as an advisor to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum's Black Wings exhibit, which honors Black men and women who have advanced the field of aerospace. Hart said she was a good student, an avid reader. She read about a woman named Harriet Quimby, a woman pilot. She thought that might be something she would be interested in doing. As a young woman, Coleman sought a different life for herself than the one her parents had, and she attended what's now called Langston University, but ended up dropping out for financial reasons. She eventually made her way to Chicago, where her brothers lived, and she worked as a manicurist in a local salon. One brother, who had returned from fighting during World War I, regaled her with stories of women pilots in France, joking that Coleman would never be able to fly like them. Such teasing only spurred on Coleman's ambitions to become a pilot. While working in the salon, Coleman met Robert Abbott, publisher of the Chicago Defender, which was a leading newspaper serving the Black community. Abbott would become her mentor, supporting her interests in aviation. Hart explained, one of the reasons he wanted to support her was because he knew her exploits would make for good stories in his newspaper. Based on her gender and skin color, Coleman was denied admission to all of the aviation schools she applied to in the United States. At Abbott's encouragement, Coleman studied French and went to Paris to learn how to fly. While there, Coleman befriended fellow Black American expatriates like entertainer Josephine Baker. After receiving her international pilot's license from the International Aeronautical Federation in 1921, Coleman returned to the United States, but the only job opportunity for a trained pilot, delivering mail for the Postal Service, was unavailable to her as a Black person and as a woman. So she turned to performing aerial stunts, also known as barnstorming. Her first air show took place at the Checkerboard Field in Chicago in 1922. Hart said, "Generally, those air shows attracted anywhere from 20,000 to 30,000 people. They're high-energy affairs, big bands. You had pilots doing tricks, wing walkers, parachute jumpers. A very high-energy, yet very dangerous event. Very profitable for the pilot." Barnstorming became a lucrative way, not only to make a living, but also to finance the aeronautical schools that Coleman intended to set up to foster Black participation in aviation. But despite Coleman's drive, winsome personality, and immense talent, it wasn't always an easy career path. Hart said, "You're going to get negative reactions from people in general. White people because she's Black and she's a woman. She's going to get a certain kind of reaction from Black people who think she shouldn't be a pilot because it was viewed as something that men should do." So she faced discrimination and conflict from both Black and white people. But for the most part, her support in the Black community was pretty strong. Sadly, tragedy cut short Coleman's life on April 30th of 1926, when she died after falling from her plane while rehearsing for an air show in Jacksonville, Florida. A funeral service was held in Jacksonville, and a much larger one in Chicago, which more than 5,000 people attended, including Black civil rights activist Ida B. Wells, who eulogized Coleman. Coleman's life has seen a renewed interest in recent decades from institutions seeking to honor her pioneering work and legacy as a Black woman in aviation. The U.S. Postal Service honored Coleman by placing her image on a stamp that came out in 1995 as part of their Black Heritage series. And Hart is currently working on a feature film about Coleman's life story. The National Aviation Hall of Fame also enshrined Coleman as one of their honorees in 2006, which Amy Spowart, president and CEO of that organization, called overdue and necessary in an email interview with How Stuff Works. Spowart said, "Bessie never took no for an answer. Whether it was working extremely hard to save up the funds needed for lessons, learning French when she realized that she would need to go to France to earn her license, and that she would always fight gender and race bigotry, Coleman didn't let anything stand in her way." Dr. Hart's mother's uncle, one James Herman Banning, was the first Black American pilot to be licensed by the U.S. government in 1926, and he served as the first chief pilot of the Bessie Coleman Aero Club, which was established in 1929 in honor of Coleman to support Black men and women in the field of aeronautics. The Bessie Coleman Aero Club ended up training many Black pilots, some of whom went on to serve as Tuskegee Airmen during World War II. They also sponsored the first all-Black flight shows in the 1930s in Los Angeles, which raised money for the City Unemployment Fund at the height of the Great Depression. Hart said, "Her legacy is the Black men and women she inspired to follow her into the field of aviation. The first African-American woman to go into space, Mae Jemison, took a photo of Coleman into space with her." Today's episode is based on the article Bessie Coleman, America's First Black Female Aviatrix, on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Tara Yarlagata. Brainstuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.